through cable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to another episode of
Stage Dive, the most underrated tag team finisher and podcast in the world today. And
tag team right here.
Yeah.
Headbangers, underrated. So we're here today. We're going to talk Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
Elimination Chamber. I watched it. I know you didn't say it, but I know you did follow up on social media and all that other stuff. I thought it was good. I think the so first of all, Elimination Chamber wasn't around when we were there.
Right.
And actually, it was kind of funny. There was a comment made about Javon Evans, how he's 21.
Yeah.
He wasn't even born yet when the Elimination Chamber started, which was 24 years ago. So that's just crazy.
That is funny.
21 and how far he's come already. Him and like Trick Williams.
And wow, the things that those two did were just crazy. It was just crazy good.
I was actually thought Javon was going to do a little bit crazier stuff than what he did. But
so flippy.
Yeah. He's so bouncy.
He's so bouncy.
So here was my first thought though. I think it was Trick Williams came out first.
Yeah.
And he gets to the ring, he does everything. And then he gets in his pod and the door closes. Instantly, claustrophobia went into my head of that thing's not that big. I know you can move around.
Yeah.
But now you're in this pod
for
five more ring entrances, which is a good 15 minutes. I mean, each ring entrance is 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah. And now you don't know when they know when they're coming out, but we don't know when he's coming out. And that first wait is 5 minutes. And then it's what? 3-4 minutes for every person for
the pod
to open. You could legit, like Randy Orton legit could have been in his pod. I mean, I know he was the last one to come out and go into a pod, but you legit could be stuck in a pod for a half hour.
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, like, I know you can kind of move around and stuff, but the claustrophobic side of me was
really
like,
even with it being see-through.
Yeah, I don't.
I think I'd be all right with that.
I mean, in the moment, I'm sure I'd be okay, but
the top is open.
Yeah.
Well,
no, it's not because you can stand on it.
Yeah, but is it a cage or?
I think it's solid.
Is it plexiglass?
I think it's solid on the top because they stand on it. I mean, you had three guys on one of the tops of them, so they got to be. But either way, I'm sure there's air. It's air. It's fine, but I don't know. Just
in your head, you were like, that would freak me out.
I'm like, I'd be in there like banging one. It's like the thought was being stuck in an elevator. That's what popped into my head.
Yeah. I can see that.
A little different, but
yeah.
So,
yeah.
So in the women's, all right, go ahead. You had something.
Oh, I was glad you were leading into that.
Yeah, no,
I thought that was unbelievable.
So first of all, Raquel.
Yes.
Was a beast.
Yes.
She was just manhandling everyone, throwing them all over the place, which I thought was awesome. And then the double pin. I don't know if I've ever seen that. She pinned two of the ladies at the same time. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Not in the way that I guess she did it, but I remember Andre and everybody used to put two guys on top of each other or something like that.
Yeah, two guys on top of one another is different than because both ladies she pinned, both their shoulders were down.
Yes.
So
what a statement that makes, first of all.
Huge. She's going to be,
Huge ramifications.
Yes.
It's my word of the day.
Ramifications?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't know what it means.
So you got that. And then Rhea wins, which
I love it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great.
I think she's phenomenal.
She's tremendous. And
I love the way she says tattoo.
And it's tattoo.
Tattoo.
But I think they kind of gave it away on SmackDown Friday because they lost the tag titles on Friday night. So then she comes in, and then on the way to the ring, Michael Cole made a comment about if Rhea doesn't win, then she's not in WrestleMania. And I kind of went,
you're not going to have a WrestleMania without Rhea.
I mean, and here's the other amazing part. She's been in 7 straight, and they've all been title matches.
Wow.
Some sort of title match.
That's crazy.
And it's 4 in a row for, like, the top title. Yeah.
So do you think that could possibly be main event or semi-main event?
For
night one, I believe.
I don't. I'm going to say no.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to say no. But let's stay with the Elimination Chamber for a second. So I thought the finish was cool. I thought Tiffy Time. I think Tiffany did great. I love Tiffy Time.
I think she's awesome, too.
She's awesome. But the finish was cool because Tiffy goes up for the prettiest moonsault.
Her moonsault, yep.
Rhea pushes her off. She hits into the pod,
which was crazy good.
It was crazy good. But what I really liked about it was most of the time that happens and whoever pushes them off like wants to celebrate or something. And we'll get into LA Knight with his whole thing and what happened with him. But Rhea didn't do like a gimmick, a character get over. Like, let me put my character. She was, the sense of urgency was so
it
there.
It was more authentic.
Right. Because it's like we talk about
my chance.
Real life.
Yeah.
You're in a bar fight. Somebody's hurt. You're just going to get on them and just beat the show. She ran out, grabbed her, pulled her in, hit her with the Riptide. Boom. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I mean, her going over is big. It's huge. It's great because her and Jade Cargill, that's going to be, should be a good match.
A slobber knocker.
I don't know about a slobber knocker. I mean, they don't use that anymore. They use banger now. Everything's a banger now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about that?
Sheamus' fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sheamus started that. But yeah, so that's going to be a good match. But the sense of urgency was there.
Right.
Like sometimes the wrestlers don't show that sense of urgency when it's time to turn it on.
Right. They're trying to get that.
They want to get the character thing over, which the character thing gets over during the match and your entrance and stuff like that. But when it's time to change that gear and just bam, bam, bam. And she grabbed her, pinned her, 1, 2, 3. And I think
and then had to shine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was that part was good.
I thought that match was just, they did a lot of stuff in that chamber that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Like that whole push off thing was great. Never expected it to happen. And then when it did, I was like, holy shit. Why haven't they done that sooner?
Yeah.
It was really good.
It looked good.
So go back to the men thing. I know we're bouncing around but there was just so much good stuff. You were talking about LA Knight.
Yeah, well, no, we'll get into it. Hold on. We'll get into it.
Because I got other things too.
Yeah. No, so
the
thing with LA Knight for me was, well, first of all, let's stay with the women's. I thought the physicality was out of this world.
Yes.
I thought the physicality in the women's match outshined
the
physicality in the men's match. 100%.
Same.
Yes.
Same.
So now we'll go into the men's.
Same. Yeah. Okay. So let me tell you what I took out of this one with that. Every time, and you know I'm a huge Logan Paul fan. Every time I see him in the ring, I can't believe he's only done this, 3 years, 2 years? He's not seasoned, or he's not, you know, I don't know if he knows the thought process behind a match, but he's in the right spot with the right people that you can't teach somebody to be athletic. He is athletic as anybody in WWE
and
he has no fear
fear of doing anything.
None.
Right.
And that stood out so much. And to see him pin all those people, I thought was phenomenal because his stuff looked good. It looks really good. I when I was watching, I was like, can't believe he's only been doing this. Like he hasn't had, you know, he's had training, but he's had training from WWE and stuff like, and the stuff he's done on his own, which I just think,
well, I think
is phenomenal. I think what he's doing.
I think part of it is you're 100% correct. I think part of it is though the training side of it, because what you're thinking of is the psychology. He has the psychology, but
they don't need that anymore.
Look who he's around though.
But they don't need the psychology anymore because they have somebody writing the matches for them. So you can be athletic as anybody, go up there, learn how to do everything, the moves.
No, you still need
the layout. But if you have somebody telling you, hey, this is how I want the match to be, where's the psychology?
Well, no, the psychology is in the moments. You get the psychology of when to pause, when to stop, when to turn it on a notch, when to step it up.
How do we know they're not telling them that? In the layout,
well, you have to learn that in the match. I go up to the PC,
right? That's why I brought this up.
Yeah, I've been there with them, and you can't teach them. You can walk through a match, you can help them lay the match out.
Yeah,
you can't teach them the moments. I'll give you an example. I'm not going to mention names. There's every single time someone will say to me, well, how should I react to this? You know what my answer is? I don't know. You got to feel it. However it feels
to you, how you react. Right.
You have to, I can't tell you what to do because then it's not real. It's not authentic.
Right.
I said, you got to do what you feel works right then and there. So that's what I'm talking about with him. That psychology side with him, he knows the moments.
He knows he
can feel the moments. Right.
Yes.
He can feel the moments. He can stop. He can react. He can pause. He can do what he needs to do to get the moment over.
Right.
Which you can't really teach that because that's crowd reaction.
Right.
And things like that. You can't really
teach that. The showman side of, yes. Right. Yes. Phenomenal.
No, he's great.
His stuff in the ring and stuff like that. You know, I think he's making a great heel, and which in turn is going to make him an even better baby face.
Right. Yeah. So we talked about sense of urgency.
Yes.
With Rhea. My issue, we brought up LA Knight.
Yes.
I like LA Knight, but hold on.
I like him too.
But he comes to the ring. He gets out of his pod. His pod opens and he gets out. Everyone else that comes out of the pod comes charging in. He walks out, zero sense of urgency, and he's got to hit his
LA Knight
stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, I know I get the character side and realize this is what we talked about, Rhea. You got to get the character over, but your character's over at that point. The sense of urgency is to get in there
and to win.
So staying with LA Knight.
Yes.
Everyone saw it.
Yep.
He goes up for his elbow and his foot slips.
Yes. Which happens.
So I hate this word and I wish somehow botch, we could delete the word from the dictionary.
Too.
Oh, here's another botch by LA Knight. Here's another botch. That's not a botch.
No.
That's called a slip.
Yeah.
It's called an accident. It's not a botch. And it's called, like, when that happens to you in the ring, you go, oh shit. But he stopped. He collected himself. Yep. I thought he collected himself well. Like, he stopped.
I thought he did too.
He didn't do the old, let me climb back up and do it again.
Yes.
He just,
that would have been bad.
That would have been bad. And the elbow he dropped
was huge.
I thought it looked great.
I thought it looked great too.
He got high. I didn't realize how high he could jump.
Yes. Yeah. It was, he was almost over the top rope. But here's the thing. I actually thought when I saw it happen, I was like, oh my God, he's going to mess up his knee or something. You know, a good cover up. Everybody at work outside of wrestling makes mistakes.
Yes.
Nobody goes into your job and go, hey, man, saw you at McDonald's flipping that cheeseburger. You flipped it to the left, not to the right. That was a botch.
That was a botch.
Yeah. You know, piece of garbage. What is wrong with you?
No,
it happens.
Right.
It's how you cover it up. It doesn't make him a bad wrestler or a bad worker or anything else like that. It happens to all of us. And if anybody out there says it doesn't, it's full of shit.
Yeah, everyone's got a mistake happen.
Yeah,
you slip
100%.
You fall. Like, I mean, hell, one time you did a run-in. I think it was in Louisville.
Yeah.
And we were wrestling with the spiders. Yep. And you dove in. You hit your nose and broke your nose on the rope.
Yep.
Like, that you botched.
Yes,
you botched the run-in.
I botched it.
You suck.
It bounced like that. We were going in for Lawler.
Right.
He's going to the same Lawler.
You know, people listening to this can't see you go like this with your arm.
Oh, yeah. So I like bounced off the bottom rope. It was like right across my nose. It was terrible. But yeah.
The word.
Pull off that mask and there was just blood everywhere.
I hate it. It needs the word. Somehow we got to get rid of the word botch.
Have to.
Yeah. It's not a botch.
We're anti-botch.
It's a slip. It's a mistake. Shit happens.
I mean, yes. Everybody makes mistakes at their job and nobody sits there and criticizes it on the internet.
Right. So fast forward that match. I loved the mask guys coming down. Then they take the mask off and there's like, oh, that's nobody. Oh, that's nobody. That's nobody. But when these mask guys came down, like, it was just perfect. It was perfect. It was perfect. And then the last mask guy that comes in is Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And when he hits the gimmick on Logan Paul, and he loses, I think that made it even better how Logan Paul lost because he was pinning everybody.
Yes.
It made that storyline even bigger.
And 100%.
So that I think that made it bigger. And then, you know, Randy Orton going over on Cody.
I love that, by the way.
Who will now go into WrestleMania going for his 15th title.
Love that, by the way.
I loved the finish. I love the fact that Cody hit the finish, pinned him. He gets up. Drew hits him with the belt.
Again.
Yeah. Drew hits him with the belt. Boom, that happens. And then as soon as Cody gets up after the belt, Orton's right there.
With the RKO. He noticed that the time was there, and it was the opportunity was there.
And boom.
He didn't wait. He did it right away.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything else. And here's a funny twist. After watching Monday Night Raw, I can see Cody going over on Drew this Friday on SmackDown. And then one of the main events for night one.
That's what I was saying. It was
Cody and
yes. So that's where I was going to go to when you said, can I see Rhea and Jade? That's why I said no, because there's so much history between those two, Randy,
the friendship,
and Cody, from when they first started. They first came in and up and down the road together. So there's so much history.
And it's not a knock on Drew. No. That story tells much better on TV than, you know, Drew's story and stuff like that.
Well, the other side of it too is, like we had said all along, like Cody's winning Elimination Chamber. Well, not all along. We said it last time.
Yeah.
Cody's going to Elimination Chamber. It's going to be Cody and Drew. But now it's, you know, it could not be because, you know, Cody and Drew could still somehow get involved.
Yeah.
And then that leaves open, like, what could happen? What's going to happen with Drew going into WrestleMania if Cody beats him on SmackDown? What's going to happen there? Who does Drew face?
Yeah.
And could it be?
It could be a three-way.
I don't know. Could it be Nick Aldis? Could Nick put the tights back on?
I don't know.
Or is it Jacob Fatu?
Could. Coming back.
I think Nick's still in great shape.
Oh, and, yeah.
I think draw-wise, Nick versus Drew is bigger than...
Because you can see the animosity building between them two on screen.
Yeah.
You know, through Monday Night Raw and everything else going on. So, I mean, there's a story there to be told as well.
Yeah, no, there's
But how, I mean, do they have the time to tell that story in the next, 4 weeks?
Yeah. What? Between Nick and Drew?
Yeah.
It's already started, that story.
Yeah, but to amplify it enough to get Nick in the ring.
All Drew's got to do is beat him up one time.
You got to tune in next week.
Oh, yeah.
The week after.
Drew beats him up one time.
That would be interesting.
And there's a match.
That would be interesting.
I mean, I don't know if Nick would want to get in the ring. I don't know how long. I don't know if he said he's retired or what thing is. But, that could be.
That's a good little twist. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Cody versus Randy, I think. Is night one, Saturday night main event. And then night two is obviously Punk and Roman.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of AJ Lee winning the IC belt? I like it for her because it tells her story, the comeback and everything else and everything. I just don't know where they go from here now with Becky and AJ. Is it squashed? Is it done?
Or? I don't know.
Like that one, I'm confused. And even after watching, you know, Immolation.
You want to try it again?
No. The Chamber. Elimination Chamber. And Monday Night Raw. I'm still confused on where they go with AJ for WrestleMania.
Well, I'm wondering. Well, I think where they're going, because they put up a thing where they're going to have like a number one's contenders match for the Intercontinental Women's title. But my question is what happened with Becky? Like,
she lost.
There's no rematch. Like, where's the storyline with her and Becky? And I love Becky as a heel. I love this version of her when she came back.
The sarcasm
is
just phenomenal.
Yeah. And like, I listen to Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
And Sam Roberts is on there. And like Becky would come into the studio and bust it open with Dave LaGreca and Bully. Like she comes in and she like talks smack to them. And she's like, I don't want to be in the same room with you. Like if they're in the room, she makes them get out when she's doing an interview. Like it's a whole thing she's done with everybody. And now she's like, where is she?
Yeah.
What's going to happen next with her?
Do you see her as the women's top heel? Who would have that spot right now?
The women's top. That's a good question. I mean, Nia Jax is up there.
Yeah, but what has she done lately?
Well, she's a tag team champion now.
Oh, from yes,
her and Lash won the
See, it's
and just, Lash is awesome too. I worked with her and and at the PC, she's great. Yeah, I mean Becky would have to be one of the. I mean Jade. I mean Tiffany's technically a heel.
Is she?
I think she's turning babyface. Chelsea's supposed to be a heel. She's fucking awesome.
Awesome.
She's all. Did you see? Did you see this SmackDown a couple weeks ago? They keep showing the clips of her. She's in the wheelchair with the boot, and the crowd is chanting, "We want Chelsea." And she's sitting in the wheelchair, and she's yelling back at her. She's not feeding into the crowd, going, "Yeah, you want me?" She's feeding. She's looking at the crowd, going, "I. What do you want me for? I am in a wheelchair. My foot is in a boot. I am physically handicapped, sitting in a wheelchair. What are you people doing? I cannot get in the ring." Like, she's yelling back at the crowd as, as it is getting louder and louder and louder. "We want Chelsea."
She's such a good character.
So
I'm such a and even more so phenomenal in the ring.
Oh yeah,
I feel.
I was kind of hoping because she's got that storyline going with Tiffany. I was kind of hoping Tiffy time went over in the chamber. Because then maybe that would have elevated Chelsea even more to the top belt instead of just the middle belt.
Middle belt, yeah.
Because her having one of the top belts is going to be when she gets when they push her up to that level.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it'll happen.
Yeah,
for her because she's just too good of a hand.
She's too good.
Yeah.
And she'll do anything and she doesn't care. Like she says it, I don't really care. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to have a job, whatever you want me to do. I want to do it to the best of my ability because this could be my last time doing it.
Yeah.
And the mentality is perfect and dead on. So just popped into my head, top female heel. Can we count Liv Morgan?
Yes.
So Liv would be,
I think she would be one.
Liv and Raquel would be up there then.
Yeah.
And with the Judgment Day and Roxanne would have been, but she's out hurt.
Yeah, I would go Becky, Liv, Raquel, kind of.
Yeah.
In the like top three.
Yeah. And I'm staying with the Judgment Day. Did you see Danhausen?
I did. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Did you think it was going to be him, first of all, coming out of that box, which they morphed into a coffin, or was the coffin inside the box?
The coffin was inside the box.
Okay. So, a little bit more sense.
And there was a lot of people in that box.
A lot of people in that box.
Well, I guess a coffin 6 feet deep in the ground. So, you had 6 feet of, I don't know, just, yeah, whatever.
It was a big box.
It was a big box.
So many things to say there. But how did you feel about, I thought, truly, it was going to be Jericho. Truly, 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 I thought it was going to be
Jericho. But.
And I think. A lot of people thought that.
Well, here's the thing. They put AEW put a freeze on Jericho's contract.
I saw.
So he's still there.
Yeah.
He can't,
he's stuck.
He can't do anything. I guess there's a clause in the contracts, at least with them. I don't know. I don't think we had it with ours. Or maybe it's a new thing they put in. If you're injured and you're off for a certain amount of time, they can basically take that time and
back add it to the end.
Add it to the end of the contract.
Yeah.
So he's still. He's still not able to. He may not be able to go to WWE for, from what I understand, I've heard 6 to 9 months. I mean, it could be a while. I literally had no idea who was in the box. I know a lot of people were kind of like on Danhausen coming out, but if you watch Raw and SmackDown leading up to the chamber with the box,
right?
It was like. Adam Pearce was like, "It's a box. I don't want it. Send it to Nick Aldis on SmackDown." Nick goes, "I don't want it. Send it back to Raw." And then the skits wrapped around the box were all comedy acts.
Yes.
Around the box. So WWE wasn't portraying the box as being something serious. They were portraying it as whatever. Uh-huh. It's a fucking box.
Like, and that makes sense now that you put it like that, because when they did the Y2J thing, the millennium, it was more, it wasn't haha, it was very, very serious.
It was serious. It was like, because that was the whole thing with when it was going to turn to 2000, the world was going to
end.
So and that was so they made it haha. So I don't know much about Danhausen.
Me either.
I know he's a guy who has taken the gimmick. Like, he trademarked the paint. It's all his. Like, the name, everything. He's done all of it. And so I know he takes it very seriously, and it's over. And from what I've heard, he's a great worker.
Yeah.
He can work his ass off.
I've never heard a bad thing about him.
But now with this character, it's a character like R-Truth. You don't have to really work. You can just do all the backstage
stuff. Yeah.
Like, he did it with Judgment Day on Raw. And now Dominic lost the IC title.
Which he's cursed.
Which I was disappointed about. As soon as he goes, "You are cursed," I went, "Oh, he's losing the strap."
Yep.
I'm like, I didn't want him to lose the belt. And I'm sure he's going to go to AAA and lose that belt.
Yeah.
So there's a whole like storyline with that going on.
Well, can you see him and Danhausen, Dominic, WrestleMania?
I could. Well,
could be a great opening match.
I mean, maybe. I mean, it could be. I mean, you could also go with the way that Judgment Day is going. You could also end up going Dominic versus Finn.
Yep.
Balor.
But
staying with Danhausen, like, him and R-Truth going back and forth. Like, "You are cursed." And R-Truth going, "Curse, huh? What? I didn't curse. What did you say?
Jimmy, did you curse?"
I mean, just the entertainment side of it. He's going to be the entertainment side. Or it's a thing where he's got to, like, Dominic keeps losing now. Maybe he loses Liv. Like, he loses everything.
Right.
And literally, he's living in a van down by the river. And he's got to go back to Dan's house and be like, "Dude, you got to lift this
please
curse.
Lift it, yes.
And, you know,
I'll do anything."
Maybe he's got to, like, wrestle Danhausen, or I mean, there's a storyline. Yeah. There's so many different ways to go with it. But from what I've heard about Danhausen, like, his that character is just gonna get over.
Yeah.
And if the way
with the kids,
yeah. And if it gets over, if they keep it going like they did on Raw, it'll get over huge.
Now, who besides R-Truth, like you said, comes to the kids? Who's there for kid interaction? You know what I mean? Like, the Bushwhackers were there because the kids like, you know, that stuff.
Right.
And all the other stuff. We were more geared to, you know, 13 to 18, the metalheads.
Yeah,
we
were like 15 to 20.
Yeah.
25, yeah.
Stuff like that. So, you know, who up there now,
character-wise,
portrays that to the youth?
Good question.
You got R-Truth. Now, Danhausen.
Yeah.
You know, you had Goldust back. Trans,
I don't know if I'd throw Goldust in there for the kids.
Yeah, Doink.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Who was the clown and Bubble and all that other stuff. So I think this is a good thing, investment-wise.
Oh, I think it's going
to
be great.
Business-wise for WWE to have people like that, because it's going to clean.
They need more characters, even like El Grande, American original El Grande.
I just want Chad Gable back.
And
I just want Chad Gable back.
It goes to the kids with the masks, because now you sell masks.
Yes.
So it's.
But here's the thing. I don't know if you noticed this, but when I was watching Monday Night Raw, there was a lot of damn subtitles. Did you notice that?
No.
On Netflix, because I watched the replay, and all the AAA guys and the Spanish-speaking, the luchas, they all had subtitles. A lot. Go back and look at it, and you'll be like, what? Because they were just...
Well, if they're speaking in Spanish, you can't understand them. They got to put the subtitles
even with up. But back in our days, we didn't have stuff like
that. Well, maybe they didn't have technology like that then.
Well, I'm sure they did. They chiseled it on a rock.
Well, we didn't have that many...
luchas.
Yes. They have many.
Yes.
So
do you think that's the way they're going now? Because are they more athletic? You know, because
no, I
like
just
we
think
were
it's
always
the...
told, it's very hard to sell under a mask because they can't see your facial expressions.
Right.
We were told that.
Right.
And I believe that to be true. You know, the act of or the art of selling comes from your face. So does it make it harder?
I don't know.
I think
you're reading into it.
I'm looking at it through a fan.
Too much?
Kind of.
But the fans' reactions to them have been great. So I don't know if I think you're overthinking it, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I think it's more just because of the agreement they have with AAA. Mm. That's the agreement. And it's funny because the talk has always now been more house shows, more live shows. They need to do more live shows. Oh yeah, Cody and CM Punk are big proponents of doing more live shows.
Good, yeah.
Because you know, we talked about it before. Your body's callous, you get used to it. We talked about it last time. But a lot of the guys like Dominic and them, they're going to AAA. So they're working shows down in Mexico. We just don't see them here as much because it's not as prominent on channels and things like that. Like I think AAA, you can find it on YouTube. I think they have a YouTube channel. They stream everything through YouTube. But yeah, I think it's just part of the agreement. I think it just is what it is. It gets fresh faces in because they need fresh faces.
Yeah.
They need fresh new people.
Because I was watching this and I was going, who's the top babyface besides Punk?
Cody.
Besides Cody. Who's after that?
Punk, Cody.
Randy?
Randy. Randy would be. Trick Williams is getting up there. Javon's coming up fast. You have...
When you think of babyface, your top five are?
Yeah, it's Punk. It's Cody, Punk, Randy. You got the Usos. You get Jay's up there. I don't know about Jimmy. Jay's up there.
It's hard, right?
LA Knight.
Right.
He's up there.
That's five. So yeah, I was thinking, I was going, wow, there's so many more heels. And then you're going to have all these people come back from injury. Most of them are heels that are out right now. Like, who's out right now that's a babyface?
I don't know.
Bronson Reed is a heel.
He's a heel.
Bronson's a heel.
Bronson, yep.
Why am I drawing a blank on his name? I can see his face. Steiner's kid.
Yeah.
You can't think of his name yet?
No. You just blocked me too.
I don't know. But
yes, I feel that there's more heels that are relevant and up there in storylines and stuff like that than the babies. That's why I can see the baby versus baby with Cody versus Randy at WrestleMania. I think that would be, I hope that happens.
Well, here's the other question.
Who goes
CM over? Punk, no. CM Punk, Roman Reigns.
Well,
who's the baby? Who's the heel?
It's weird because CM Punk is coming off more heelish, especially after what he said.
Oh, he was nasty on Monday.
Especially after that he said.
That was fun on Monday.
I was like, oos.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to bury you next to your father.
So I see, but he was in his home city.
Yeah.
So Chicago likes that shit. So,
no, Chicago was a chamber.
Chicago was, that's right. It was Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Yeah. We will be in 2 weeks.
Yes. We will be there March 27th, Square 28th, Circle Square Expo. Circle Expo.
Sold out.
And we will have t-shirts, pictures,
books
beneath the skirt,
new shirts, old shirts.
So we'll have,
But I was that caught me like right in the nose.
So let me ask you this though.
That had to be run by Roman first.
How do you
to be okay with that being said?
Listen, I know how that production goes. It was all run by him. How do you feel about Roman calling Punk Phil? I think when he first did it, I was like, oh, he's shooting on him. He's calling by his real name. And I know the idea is I don't respect you enough to call you by your wrestling name, CM Punk. So I'm going to call you Phil as if like you're a goof or something. But over and over and over again, I'm like, all right, it's kind of losing. And then, you know, he's like, I know you're not just a punk. You're a punk ass bitch or something. And I was like,
but it's all been done before.
Yeah.
By calling somebody their first name and stuff like that, you know, Hunter's done it. Steve has done it. Everybody's done it. Called somebody by their first name. Rock has done it probably more than anybody.
Right.
I just wasn't. It was.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I thought the interaction was great.
Yes,
between the two of them.
Yeah. And I think that match is probably going to be the match of the whole WrestleMania weekend. 100%. I was just more like, holy shit, I can't believe he just said that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it could turn. it could turn him heel. I mean, but then again, the way the crowds are now, they like that stuff.
Stone Cold Steve Austin back in when we were there.
They like that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
The anti-authority.
Well, it's not even so much what he's doing.
Well, that's what Steve was, yeah.
I mean, I know CM Punk's whole thing was anti-authority and he was on his own, but just the promo of it, who goes that deep? Like, you go.
That's
deep. And you think about it, really. What I liked about the promo was they went back and forth of their history. Like,
yeah.
Roman carried the company when Punk left.
Yeah.
You know, he carried it for the most part the last 100%, 5, 6 years.
Yes.
And, you know, they threw all that in there at each other about him leaving and then coming back. And, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. And I don't think either one of them should touch each other.
Until WrestleMania. 100%.
There should not be any physicality at all.
Same with CM Punk. Him at Elimination Chamber. And Finn Balor, phenomenal.
Great match.
Unbelievable match. Just everything that they did was just really good.
It was. What I liked about
Finn is just amazing.
What I liked about it was an old school style.
Very much so.
Match. Well, they got their spots in. They got their stuff over. They shined the way they needed to shine. The psychology and storyline behind the match was
100%.
I'm the baby face. I got the arm. I'm going to work the arm. I'm going to work it. Here's the heel. The heel gets on top. The baby face cuts them back off. Then they got the heat. Like, it was an old school.
I think that's why I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
The parts that I saw of it, I was just like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah.
Because it's telling such a story with it.
Yeah. The psychology and storyline of the match was how we talked about before. You got the founder, we built the walls, and you had all of it in there.
Yep. And I just think Finn Balor is the most unutilized talent up there. I think he is unbelievable. I wish the monster would come back.
Well, one of the things with Finn that I've been waiting for, because he's the first one to win, I guess, the Universal Championship or whatever they were calling it at the time. Yep. And then he got hurt. So it was 24 hours. When they brought him back, he never had a shot back at the title.
No.
They threw him in with the Judgment Day thing. And, I mean, that's been fine to get everyone over.
Yes.
But you would think he would come back in right away and be like, hey, there's a belt I never lost. That's still my title.
Yeah.
Almost, you know, like kind of like we did with Tag Team Champs Universe. Like, he would have created some way to get back into that.
Right.
And they just, I don't know if they just didn't see him like that for the longest time or it was just so much other stuff going on. And now they're trying to build him back up to that.
I'd like to see Finn and Trick. Or Bouncy. That would be.
Bouncy, you mean Javon Evans?
Yes. I like Bouncy.
He is very bouncy.
He should come out on a pogo stick.
He doesn't need to. He's a built-in. He's a human pogo stick. He doesn't need one. He's a built-in one.
So, yeah.
All right. So, lots of fun, interesting stuff coming out of Elimination Chamber.
I love this time of the year for wrestling.
WrestleMania?
So, I fall off a lot from watching it and everything else. And this time of the year and you and doing this and stuff like that always gets me so much back into it. Because it seems so much more exciting. I wish there was less talk, you know, at the beginning of the shows and all the segments.
You want
and stuff
less
like
talk?
That.
Tune in on Tuesday at NXT.
They don't do that.
Oh, they do, but it's
not as long.
It's literally action. I mean, not so. This past week, so I know you don't follow it, so you're not going to know the characters. Miles Bourne, he's deaf. He won the North American Championship from Ethan Page last week.
Okay.
So Miles comes out to start the show with the belt, and it's a great promo. First of all, I there's a couple moments I saw because he starts talking and then the crowd got behind him, but he's deaf. So he's looking at the hard cam where there's no people. So he couldn't
register it.
So he's got it in my mind, and Miles, if you're listening, you got to stop and maybe turn, because I know you want to sell to the hard cam, but you got to stop and turn to see the crowd, because that's the way he's going to, you know, he's got to feel it. So there's a couple of times where they were going, and then he just started talking over him.
Yeah.
But then eventually he goes, this is great. He goes, this is the point where everyone comes out and says, oh, I want to thank my mom and the fans. And he goes, no, I don't want to do that. I want to thank my haters. I want to thank everyone who doubted me. I want to thank this one. I want to thank Ethan Page, because it wasn't for him, he would have never turned something on inside of me, furnace inside of me that I didn't know existed. Blah, 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 blah. And then Ethan Page came out. I get goosebumps. It was cool. Ethan Page came out, and Ethan's like, oh, okay, since I'm the one like you're thanking the most, I should get a rematch and blah, 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 blah. Now, they have a PLE this Saturday. So Ethan Page comes out, and then Robert Stone comes out, who's the GM now, and he comes out. He goes, well, if you guys want to do the match, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right now. They're both in suits. So they had a match literally 5 minutes in for the North American Championship
in suits,
and they were ripping each other's clothes off. And so, yeah, so they do the talking, but it's right.
Stuff.
Yes, it's right into action. I sit there, I watch Raw, and I have my phone out, and I'll take notes on something that maybe we want to talk about, but I play games because it's like, you know, you're watching the match. I'm like, and I'll fast forward some of it. But with NXT the other night, I'm like, shit, I didn't want to miss something. And the matches are all boom, boom, boom. And then it's like, you get done a match, it's like right into a backstage, like vignette of something that just happened or somebody's laying down. So it's literally nonstop.
It was funny because I usually hate when they open up with, you know, Monday Night Raw, and they open up with a talking segment or something like that. But when I saw The Vision come out with Paul, I was like, ooh, I want to see what happens.
Right.
Just because of what happened at Elimination Chamber.
Right.
So I was invested in that. And I'm so anti the talking. And it came out, and then all the masked guys started coming out again. And then, you know, Seth revealed himself again, chair shot, curb stomp, which Paul took. Unbelievable. The chair shot was great.
Oh, yeah. He clobbered the shit out of him.
Clobbered him. And you heard it.
Yeah.
Throughout. And then the curb stomp bump that he took, Paul, was great.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's so funny. He does much wrong, Heyman, because I think his stuff is so over now. It's so good.
I mean, he's so good. He's always been so good.
Yeah.
He's always been good.
Love you, Paul. Even though we don't know each other.
That's going to be interesting to see what happens too.
Where it goes.
Where did he go? Where did LA Knight take him?
Right.
Where did he go? So like I said to you before we got on, I was listening to Busted Open Radio and Bully, Uncle, call him. He wants to be called Uncle Bully. Uncle Bully. he came out and he said, I thought it would have been great if Raw ended with Paul in the hospital room with all the doctors and nurses and everything or whatever. And he goes, where's my phone? Give me my phone. I need my phone. Got everyone out. And he goes, Siri, call Brock Lesnar. And went off the air. Because now you got Brock coming in.
Right.
Because not only did Seth take out the Oracle and the Wise Man, he took out the Advocate.
Right.
Brock Lesnar. So now they bring Brock in to face Seth.
And then you have the other two.
But in theory, that's a great way to go off the air. But Uncle Bully, how do we know he's in the hospital? Because we don't know where LA Knight took him.
Yeah.
Right? They never showed where LA Knight took him.
Have to see what happens next week.
Yeah. So Uncle Bully, great idea, but... we'll have to see
what happened.
All right. Anything else you got?
No.
All right. So with that being said, do whatever makes your heart happy.
Yes.
Just don't suck at it.
Oh, wow. Was that different than last week?
Same exact thing.
Oh, I was going to say.
All right. See you. Bye.
Yes.